Christ. Amen? Amen. Open your Bibles up if you would, the book of Luke this morning. The book of Luke. We're going to deviate from the book of Acts for a couple weeks there. I want to celebrate the first Advent. But the book of Luke opens up with an unusual account. It records the account of a man who was serving God, going about his daily business, doing what he knew to do, and never expecting God to intervene. I think that's sometimes how we go. I think that's sometimes how we deal with life, is that we just kind of go about our business, and we never really expect God to intervene. We pray that he'll do it, and we pray that he'll get involved in our lives, but as long as nothing happens negative, then we're okay. And we come in on Sunday morning and we expect God to show up and we expect God to bless us and we expect God to do something, but we really don't expect it. We show up on a Sunday morning and say we're going to sing a few little songs and we're going to give our money, we're going to have a fellowship, and then Brother Brian's going to get up and say a few words and we're going to go home and do whatever we do. And I think we get into a rut and we get into a situation where that's all we expect to happen. And that's natural because we're human beings and we love comfort. We love to do the same thing over and over because we're used to it and we're comfortable in that. But what I prayed this morning, and Brother Danny and Tanner and I, when Tanner's able to get here on Sunday mornings, he's sick this morning with the junk from the parade. But Danny and I prayed this morning and we prayed this: God, would you please do something that could only be explained by you doing it? I've asked God to speak to our hearts and do something that's out of the ordinary. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Brian, we're Baptists. We don't like change. We don't like things different, Brother Brian. We like to sit in our same pews and we like to sing the same songs and we like to shake the same hands and we like to have the same fake smiles. And then we like to go home and eat the same food. And we like all the sameness. Brother Brian, don't disrupt that. Well, I want God to disrupt that this morning. Or, oh me. Some of you, I can see you looking for your keys already. I want God to disrupt that. But Zacharias here, who we're going to learn about this morning, and our focus is not going to be on Zacharias. Our focus is going to be on the promises that God made to Zacharias. But our focus this morning is going to be on what God said was going to happen. But Zacharias plays a key component of this. Now, Zacharias's job, his ministry, was to take the incense and take it into the temple and take it into the room next to the Holy of Holies. So let's pretend that this wall represents the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant is. That's where they keep the Ark of the Covenant with the angels sitting over it and everything else. That's what represents the presence of God. The incense, the table of incense, was about this far away from the Holy of Holies. And Zechariah's job at this time of year, his job, which was a great opportunity, it was very rare, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to burn incense in the place in front of the Holy of Holies. Now, he wasn't allowed to go into the Holy of Holies because that's not who he was. He wasn't the high priest. He was one of the servants. And so he would come in and he would burn incense there as offering of prayers to God for the people. And then he would leave and go back. And so he was doing his regular duty. He was expecting to just worship God. He was expecting to just do what he's always used to doing. But God changed all of that. That particular day when he came in to burn the incense, I know that he had no idea that God would show up. You know why? Because God hadn't shown up before. It was something unusual. Brothers and sisters, I want God to do something unusual today. What are you expecting, Brother Brian? You're kind of getting scary a little bit here. Are you wanting somebody to stand up and shout amen? Are you wanting somebody to stand up and start running the aisles? I want somebody to obey what God tells you to do this morning. Even if I'm the only one, I want to obey and do what God tells me to do. I don't want a regular Sunday morning. Amen? There you go, sister. So let's pick up the story here in Luke chapter number 1. Verse number 5. These words, there were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. And he was of the course of Abia, means that was the group that was on duty at this time. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. In other words, they were living for God. They knew who God was, and they were doing their best to obey and serve Him. But verse number 7 shows up, and it says, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. So here's the issue. And a lot of frustration in our lives as Christians, we say, Brother Brian, I'm doing all I can to serve the Lord. I give and I pray and I read the Bible and I'm doing this and doing this. But things aren't exactly like they should be. I serve God here and I do this, but for some reason I've got this physical ailment, or for some reason my children aren't doing right or something. My world is not perfect this morning. Let me ask you a question. How many of you live in an imperfect situation in your family right now? You say, well, that's not me. Well, hold on, it's coming. Thank you, Mr. Sunshine. But it's the truth. It's the truth. We don't like it, but it happens in our lives. How you react to it makes all the difference. So Zacharias, he's going in to worship God. He's going in to do what he's supposed to be doing. He knows in the back of his mind that his wife is well beyond years of having children. She can't have children. And that was considered by society a horrible thing, if a woman couldn't have a child naturally. And so she was probably shunned. But now, God didn't look at it that way, but people did. And so they looked at her like there was something wrong with her, why she couldn't have children. So as Zacharias went in to burn incense, I'm sure in the back of his mind he was thinking, well, it's another year. My wife can't have children. I guess God really doesn't love us. Maybe God, I'm just going to do what I know to do. That's how we cope sometimes. Verse number 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before the God in the order of his course, as he did what he was supposed to do, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So as he was in here burning the incense, doing like he knew to do, doing what he was supposed to do, doing what he was called to do, outside, all the people were praying, because remember, they didn't have personal contact with God at this time. They had to have the priests intercede for them, and they were out here praying for him. And as he's in here performing and doing what he's supposed to be doing, God shows up. Verse number 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, can you imagine? He's just going about his routine, doing what he's supposed to be doing, burn the incense, and all of a sudden, boom, an angel shows up. Now, how many of you would have a heart attack if an angel showed up here this morning? We'd be calling 911. I can just see dispatch here in Bryson City being overwhelmed with 911 calls. They're having heart attacks at Victory Baptist Church. All the way to Elon, all the way to Cherokee. They'd be calling Robbinsville. They'd be calling Asheville. They'd be calling Waynesville. Send all the ambulances you can. People are having heart attacks. Well, I'm not praying for heart attacks this morning, but I'm praying that God would get a hold of our hearts this morning. Amen? An angel appears. And I know Zacharias didn't go, well, that's pretty cool. I imagine he was scared to death. How many of you understand he was scared to death? Wow! Look how he reacts. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and he fear fell upon him. That word trouble means freaked out in the Greek. You've got to read to understand it, okay? Freaked out. But the angel said unto him, fear not. You know why we're afraid for God to show up? Because we're afraid God's going to show up. We're afraid God's going to do something. We're afraid that God's going to change us. We're afraid that God's going to somehow speak to us, and we're scared of it. And the angel says, fear not. And the Holy Spirit is saying this morning, fear not. In a few moments, we have invitation time. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about making a decision, either getting saved or getting right with God, or making things right with somebody, or doing whatever, surrendering. And you're wanting to, and you're scared to do it. God is speaking to you saying, fear not. Because that's got to be from God. Because I promise you, Satan is never going to want you to do something God wants you to do. Never. He's never going to encourage you to obey God. He's never going to encourage you to go with what His Word says. Never. So you know that if God's speaking to your heart and He's telling you to make things right with somebody, He's telling you to get saved, He's telling you to surrender to whatever, I promise you that's God, not Satan. And you have God's permission to fear not. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have grumbling and complaining and misery all the days of your life. No. What does he say? And you shall have joy, gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Now, brothers and sisters, how many of you are parents in here this morning? All right. How many of you were promised that when you were going to have a child, you were going to have joy and peace and gladness? Oh, not a lot of hands. How many of you were promised you're going to have misery and pain? Well, Brother Brian, nobody promised me nothing. They just said, hold on. As mine were growing up, They asked me how old they were, and I tell them, they said, are they not teenagers? And they said, when they turn teenagers, hold on. It's not always joy and peace and rejoicing. But I promise you, with God in the middle of it, it's joy and peace and rejoicing. He said, you're going to have... But he's not talking about having the baby itself. He's talking about what the baby will herald. Because look at the verse again. Look what it says. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Why? For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And then look at this promise. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to himself and the priests. No. Who is John going to turn to people to? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our joy, that's where our peace, that's where our gladness comes from. Knowing Jesus Christ. His great name. And anybody who points you to another source of joy, anybody who points you to another source of gladness, guess what? They're pointing you the wrong direction. It's got to be Jesus and Jesus alone. Wow. Amen, Brother Brian. Just get done so we can go home. Verse number 17, and he shall go before him, the Lord, in spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? How is this going to happen? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. Zechariah says, now how do I know you're speaking truth? And I can hear Gabriel said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in God's presence, and I'm here to tell you what God is going to do. And it's glad tidings. Now, before you start to think that I am proclaiming myself to be an angel, Before you start to think that I'm proclaiming to be something other than a man, erase that thought. My children and my wife can tell you I'm no angel. Amen? Come on. Yeah, there. Thank you, sweetie. I got an amen person right here. I am no angel. But I've got God's word to you. You have God's word to you sitting in your laps or on your phone. You have it there. And I am proclaiming to you what God's word clearly says. And you can react one of two ways. Yes, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to trust it, or no, I'm not. You would think that Zacharias, seeing the angel right there in his presence, telling him these things. He came from the very throne of God to deliver this message to Zacharias. And Zacharias is serving God. You would think that Zacharias would say, okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. He doesn't. Verse number 20. And behold, the angel says, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Why? Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. He says, you're not trusting God. You're not believing what he's trying to tell you. So guess what? There's going to be some problems to deal with. I really believe in my heart the reason that I don't see God move in my life and the reason we don't see God move in this church is because we really don't believe that God's going to do what he's promised he's going to do. If we have the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. Did you come in this morning really expecting God to do something? Or did you just show up because it's Sunday morning and it's what you always do? Now, I'm not blaming you and I'm not blaming me. We're human condition. That's what we do. But guess what? Let's get over that. Let's get away from that. Let's expect God to do something in our life. Let's want God to do something in our life. Do you want something to be done in your life by God? How many of you want that this morning? Honestly, come on now. Well, Brother Brian, it's up to you. You got to be more forthright with what you're telling us, Brother Brian. The musicians and the choir, they got to do a whole lot better job. We got to sing different songs and they got to... No! That's got nothing to do with it in itself. It's part of it. You know what is the answer? When we decide that we're going to obey God and open our hearts up to Him. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And there's not a living soul that can change that. And there's not a living soul that can make you do anything. If he tells you to do it, you best do it. Because if you don't, you're going to miss out on the blessing. Amen. So sure enough, Zacharias leaves. He walks out. And everybody was scared to death because he'd been in there for a while. Usually when he burned the incense, he left and went right back out. But he's having a conversation with the angel. And he comes out. And everybody's been holding their breath because he hadn't shown up yet. And he walks out and everybody's like, what happened to him? We thought you were dead. And he couldn't speak a word. It says he was dumb. Now, it doesn't mean he was dumb. That's not what it means. It means he couldn't speak and he couldn't formulate what had been told to him. He comes out and everybody's looking at him. He's looking at them and he wants to tell them what's going on, but he can't tell them because he can't. Sure enough, they go home, and Elizabeth becomes pregnant. Verse number 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, but he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. I can just see it. He's out there saying, that's what beckoned unto him means. I can see it. How many of y'all can see that? And the people are looking at him like, what's wrong with you? He gives up. Verse number 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he had to keep doing what he was doing. He departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months. And this is what she said: "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." They got home, and she became pregnant. And then she hid herself for 5 months because she didn't know what to expect from people, because she knew that they'd be wagging their tongues. And there she is, pregnant. And there's her husband, can't speak a word, and doesn't know how to express himself, and they're in a fix and they're in a bad situation. Now, this baby that she's carrying is not the Christ. But this baby that she's carrying is going to proclaim the Christ. Now let's go back. Let's go a little bit further now. We're going to skip over a few things here in Luke chapter 1. That was all introduction. We're going to go now here to Luke chapter 1, go down to verse 67. The baby is now born. John has come forth. And Zacharias' mouth has been unlocked, and he was telling everybody, "This is what happened. This is what the angel said unto me," and all these things taking place, and everybody's rejoicing. Yay! Now look at what Zacharias says. I want to give you four things right here that God promises in this passage of Scripture. Four things that God's promises made, not only to the people of Israel, but the promises to us. Look at number one, here verse number 67. And his father Zacharias, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied. In other words, the Holy Spirit came on Zacharias, and Zacharias began to proclaim what God said. Number one, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Number one, God knows us and never forgets. Because look what it says: "For God has visited and redeemed his people." God knows what's going on, and he never forgets. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, "You know what? God has forgotten about me. I'm doing what I can do, but God has totally placed me off somewhere and has forgotten that I even exist." That's what they felt. It had been several decades since the last prophet Malachi had spoken to the people. Several times since he had even come along and God had even spoken to the people through the high priests. And I'm sure as Zacharias went daily about burning the incense that he was supposed to do, and God never spoke to him, I am sure he thought, "God has forgotten me." May I tell you, brothers and sisters, God has not forgotten you. You are not an afterthought. It says, "God has visited and redeemed his people." You say, "Brother Brian, why is it taking so long for God to remember me then?" He hadn't forgotten you. You say, "Brother Brian, why is it taking so long for God to do this or God to do that?" Sometimes we don't want him to. It's kind of like the old story, the man who was on a house that was flooding. And he had confidence and faith in God. And he's sitting there praying, "Oh God, please save me." And he's looking for something miraculous. And all of a sudden this fellow comes by on a little dinghy. And he comes by and says, "Jump in." And the guy says, "No, uh-uh. I've been praying for God to save me. You're not going to save me. You're not worthy." And the guy drives off. All of a sudden a helicopter comes overhead. You like that invitation? That's pretty good, isn't it? And he drops a rope down and says, "Climb in." And the guy says, no, "I don't. God's going to save me. I'm not going to let you save me." And the helicopter flies off. And pretty soon the water gets up and up and up and up and up. And the guy drowns. And he gets to heaven and he's saying, "God, why didn't you save me? I prayed and you tried to save me. Why didn't you do it?" And God says, "What about the boat? What about the helicopter? I tried and you didn't want it." Now I know it's not the full joke, but you got the gist of it. Brothers and sisters, God's been sending boats and helicopters and people to you over and over and over again. And you know what you keep saying? No. I don't want it. I don't want it. That means I got to do something different. That means I got to get in the boat. That means I got to hold on to the rope. And I don't want it. I want it easy. I want to get up in the morning and have my coffee made for me. I want to have my breakfast laid out on the table. And I want to eat and I want to go back and take a nap. And then I want to get up and I want to watch the news. I want my lunch made for me. Then I want to go back and take a nap. And then I want to get up and have my dinner made for me. And then go back and go to bed. That's what my life, I want my life to be. Brothers and sisters, if that's how you want your life to be, you are way off bounds. Sometimes God speaks to us and helps us to remember that He's shown up in ways we don't expect. Because we have our eyes down here instead of our eyes up here and this way. Number one, God remembers who we are. Number two, look at verse number 70. And He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, verse number 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. Number two, God always keeps His promises. Always keeps His promises. There's not a single promise God has not kept. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, God's made this and this and this, but guess what? It hadn't happened yet. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean He's not going to keep it. If God makes a promise, He's going to keep it. That's what it says right here. Look at it again with me. He says, as He spake, God, by the mouth of His holy prophets, as we have in the Old Testament, which have been since the world began, and verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. What was that promise? That the Messiah was coming. That was God's promise. I'm going to send the Messiah. It had been hundreds of years, thousands of years, and it hadn't happened yet. Well, when's it going to happen? God said, it's happening now. It's going to happen. God always keeps His promise. Number three, God protects and delivers His people. God protects and delivers His people. Look at verse number 71. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Verse 74, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. Why will God deliver us from our enemies? So that we can serve Him. You have an enemy. His name is Satan. And regardless of your age, he wants to defeat everything that God's trying to do in your life. But brothers and sisters, greater is He that is in us, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. God is my shield and my buckler. You know why the hen protects her chicks under her wings? How many of you recognize you don't mess with a hen with gardener babies? How many of you recognize that? How many of you recognize you don't mess with a mama bear with cubs? How many recognize you don't mess with a mama with her babies? But when those babies and those hens and those cubs wander away, they're open to attack. We are under God's wings. He is our protector and our shield. ADT has nothing on God's protection. MCI or NCI or whatever you see on TV with the little doorbell that has the camera. Now, who in the right mind is going to come to the door and try to break in the front door? That's ridiculous. Amen? Those security places got nothing on God. God is our shield and our buckler. He protects His people. And number four, God has a purpose for all of us. God has a purpose for all of us. Look at verse number 75. in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, he's speaking to his son, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts to the day of his showing unto Israel. He says, John, you've got a purpose and you're going to fulfill that purpose when God's timing is there. Brothers and sisters, you have a purpose. From the tiny little one right here, little Harrison, what a blessing. Little Graceland back there, up here with her granddad, leading the music. God has a purpose for them. From the very oldest one in the room, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you know who you are. From the very oldest one in this room, God has a purpose for you. And everybody in between. Let me ask you this very direct question. Are you feeling that purpose? Only you can answer. If you're not, why not? What's keeping you back? I'm scared, Brother Brian. May I tell you what the angel told Zacharias? Fear not. Fear not. You see, Brother Brian, I've messed up. I have royally messed up. Man, I have done this and I have done that and this, and your whole list of mess ups are all listed right here, and you're thinking, there's no way God is going to use me again. All right? How many of you have killed any Christians? You're not going to admit it. How many of you have denied Jesus Christ 3 times in a public setting? I don't see any hands. How many agree? Those are pretty egregious things. Pretty bad. Well, did God still use Peter? Did God still use Paul? No. Of course he did. Why won't God use you? You know why? Because you don't want him to. My theme song is, I shall not be moved. Oh, please, give me a break. Your theme song ought to be, it is well with my soul because I want to serve my Savior. His great name. He is worthy. He is worthy. Amen? Amen. And all God's people said, and those in the balcony. There we go. We got a few up there. Praise the Lord. His great name. He is worthy. So number one, God knows us and never forgets. Number two, God keeps his promises always. Number three, God protects and delivers his people. And number four, God has a purpose for all of us. So how about it, brothers and sisters? Are you going to get off your comfortable seat in life and get up and just obey the Lord? I ain't going to do it, Brother Brian, because you're telling me to. I'm not going to do it. Don't do it because of me. Do it because of him. He is worthy. He is worthy. Amen? Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. This is what I like to do. Miss Shirley, I'm gonna ask Brother Alan, would you come up? I want you to come up and play that song again. I don't know if you can accompany him in that song or not. His great name. Miss Sherry, why don't you come on up? Where's the others that were singing that way this morning? Would you come up, Miss Sherry? Shay, come on up. I think my wife's down in the nursery probably. All right. Why don't you go? I want us to sing that song this morning. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want them to sing that song, His Great Name, because He is worthy. He is worthy of obedience. He is worthy of trust. Here's my question for you this morning. Are you going to do what He's telling you to do? What is keeping you from doing it? What is keeping you from saying, "Yes, Lord"? May I ask you this morning, will you just say, "God, speak to my heart. God, would you use me? Would you please use me, God?" Heavenly Father, you know our hearts, you know the needs. I'm asking for people to surrender to you this morning. I'm asking, God, that you would be manifested, that you would be glorified. I'm asking, God, that people would publicly surrender, privately surrender, but that they would just obey you and what you've called them to do. In Christ's name I pray. Let's sing that song for us, please, this morning.
Lost or saved, find their way at the sound of a ring. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. In a name He has to live.
Please be seated if you would.